Tractate 12 John 3. 6-21. Part 2. And he goes on, If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe, if I tell you heavenly things? What earthly things did he tell, brethren? Except a man be born again, is that an earthly thing? The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest its voice, and knowest not whence it cometh, or whither it goeth, is that earthly? For if he spoke it of the wind, as some have understood it, when they were asked what earthly thing the Lord meant, when he said, If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe, if I tell you heavenly things? When, I say, it was asked of certain men what earthly thing the Lord meant, being in difficulty, they said, What he said, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and its voice thou hearest, and knowest not whence it cometh, or whither it goeth, he said concerning the wind. Now what did he name earthly? He was speaking of the spiritual birth, and going on, saith, So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Then, brethren, which of us does not see, for example, the south wind going from south to north, or another wind coming from east to west? How, then, know we not whence it cometh and whither it goeth? What earthly thing, then, did he tell, which men did not believe? Was it that which he had said about raising the temple again? Surely, for he had received his body of the earth, and that earth taken of the earthly body he was preparing to raise up. They did not believe him as about to raise up earth. If I told you earthly things, saith he, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? That is, if you believe not that I can raise up the temple cast down by you, how shall you believe that men can be regenerated by the Spirit? And he goes on, And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Behold, he was here, and was also in heaven, was here in his flesh, in heaven by his divinity, yes, everywhere by his divinity. Born of a mother, not quitting the Father. Two nativities of Christ are understood, one divine, the other human, one, that by which we were to be made, the other, that by which we were to be made anew, both marvelous, that without mother, this without father. But because he had taken a body of Adam, for Mary was of Adam and was about to raise that same body again, it was an earthly thing he had said in saying, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But this was a heavenly thing, when he said, Except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Come then, brethren. God has willed to be the Son of Man, and willed men to be sons of God. He came down for our sakes, let us ascend for his sake. For he alone descended and ascended, he who saith, No man hath ascended into heaven, but he who came down from heaven. Are they not therefore to ascend into heaven whom he makes sons of God? Certainly they are, this is the promise to us, they shall be equal to the angels of God. Then how is it that no man ascends, but he that descended? Because one only descended, only one ascends. What of the rest? What are we to understand, but that they shall be his members, that one may ascend? Therefore it follows that no man hath ascended into heaven, but he who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Dost thou marvel that he was both here and in heaven? Such he made his disciples. Hear the Apostle Paul saying, But our conversation is in heaven. If the Apostle Paul, a man, walked in the flesh on earth, and yet had his conversation in heaven, was the God of heaven and earth not able to be both in heaven and on earth? Therefore, if none but he descended and ascended, what hope is there for the rest? The hope for the rest is this, that he came down in order that in him and with him they might be one, who should ascend through him. He saith not, and to seeds, saith the apostle, as in many, but as in one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And to believers he saith, and you are Christ's, and if Christ's, then are Abraham's seed. What he said to be one, that he said that we all are. Hence, in the Psalms, many sometimes sing, to show that one is made of many, sometimes one sings, to show what is made of many. Therefore was it only one that was healed in the pool, and whoever else went down into it was not healed. Now this one shows forth the oneness of the church. Woe to them who hate unity, and make to themselves parties among men. Let them hear him who wished to make them one, in one, for one, let them hear him who says, Be not you making many, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. They were saying, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas. And he says, Is Christ divided? Be you in one, be one thing, be one person, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he who came down from heaven. Lo! We wish to be thine, they said to Paul. And he said to them, I will not that you be Paul's, but be you his whose is Paul together with you. For he came down and died, and by that death delivered us from death, being slain by death, he slew death. And you know, brethren, that this death entered into the world through the devil's envy. God made not death, saith the scripture, nor delights he in the destruction of the living, but he created all things to be. But what saith it here? But by the devil's envy, death entered into the whole world too. To the death offered for our entertainment by the devil, man would not come by constraint, for the devil had not the power of forcing, but only cunning to persuade. Hadst thou not consented, the devil had brought in nothing, thy own consenting, O man, led thee to death. Of the mortal are mortals born, from immortals we are become mortals. From Adam all men are mortal, but Jesus the Son of God, the Word of God, by which all things were made, the only Son equal with the Father, was made mortal, for the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. He endured death, then, but death he hanged on the cross, and mortal men are delivered from death. The Lord calls to mind a great matter, which was done in a figure with them of old, and as Moses, saith he, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that every one who believeth on him may not perish, but have everlasting life. A great mystery is here, as they who read know. Again, let them hear, as well they who have not read as they who have forgotten what perhaps they had heard or read. The people Israel were fallen helplessly in the wilderness by the bite of serpents, they suffered a great calamity by many deaths, for it was the stroke of God correcting and scourging them that he might instruct them. In this was shown a great mystery, the figure of a thing to come, the Lord himself testifies in this passage, so that no man can give another interpretation than that which the truth indicates concerning itself. Now Moses was ordered by the Lord to make a brazen serpent, and to raise it on a pole in the wilderness, and to admonish the people Israel, that, when any had been bitten by a serpent, he should look to that serpent raised up on the pole. This was done, men were bitten, they looked and were healed. What are the biting serpents? Sins, from the mortality of the flesh. What is the serpent lifted up? The Lord's death on the cross. For as death came by the serpent, it was figured by the image of a serpent. The serpent's bite was deadly, the Lord's death is life-giving. A serpent is gazed on that the serpent may have no power. What is this? A death is gazed on, that death may have no power. But whose death? The death of life, if it may be said, the death of life, I, for it may be said, but said wonderfully. But should it not be spoken, seeing it was a thing to be done? Shall I hesitate to utter that which the Lord has deigned to do for me? Is not Christ the life? And yet Christ hung on the cross. Is not Christ life? And yet Christ was dead. But in Christ's death, death died. Life dead slew death, the fullness of life swallowed up death, death was absorbed in the body of Christ. So also shall we say in the resurrection, when now triumphant we shall sing, where, O death, is thy contest? Where, O death, is thy sting? Meanwhile, brethren, that we may be healed from sin, let us now gaze on Christ crucified, for as Moses, saith he, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Just as they who looked on that serpent perished not by the serpent's bites, so they who look in faith on Christ's death are healed from the bites of sins. But those were healed from death to temporal life, whilst here he saith, that they may have everlasting life. Now there is this difference between the figurative image and the real thing: the figure procured temporal life, the reality, of which that was the figure, procures eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him may be saved. So far, then, as it lies in the physician, he is come to heal the sick. He that will not observe the orders of the physician destroys himself. He is come a Savior to the world. Why is he called the Savior of the world, but that he is come to save the world, not to judge the world? Thou wilt not be saved by him, thou shalt be judged of thyself. And why do I say, shall be judged? See what he says, he that believeth on him is not judged, but he that believeth not. What dost thou expect he is going to say, but is judged? Already, saith he, has been judged. The judgment has not yet appeared, but already it has taken place. For the Lord knoweth them that are his, he knows who are persevering for the crown, and who for the flame, knows the wheat on his threshing floor, and knows the chaff, knows the good corn, and knows the tares. He that believeth not is already judged. Why judged? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. My brethren, whose works does the Lord find to be good? The works of none, he finds the works of all evil. How is it, then, that some have done the truth, and are come to the light? For this is what follows: but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In what way have some done a good work to come to the light, namely, to Christ? And how have some loved darkness? For if he finds all men sinners, and healeth all of sin, and that serpent in which the Lord's death was figured healed them that were bitten, and on account of the serpent's bite the serpent was set up, namely, the Lord's death on account of mortal men, whom he finds unrighteous, how are we to understand that this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil? How is this? Whose works, in fact, are good? Hast thou not come to justify the ungodly? But they loved, saith he, darkness rather than light. There he laid the emphasis, for many loved their sins, many confess their sins, and he who confesses his sins, and accuses them, doth now work with God. God accuses thy sins, and if thou also accusest, thou art united to God. There are, as it were, two things, man and sinner. That thou art called man, is God's doing; that thou art called sinner, is man's own doing. Blot out what thou hast done, that God may save what he has done. It behoves thee to hate thine own work in thee, and to love the work of God in thee. And when thy own deeds will begin to displease thee, from that time thy good works begin, as thou findest fault with thy evil works. The confession of evil works is the beginning of good works. Thou doest the truth, and comest to the light. How is it thou doest the truth? Thou dost not caress, nor soothe, nor flatter thyself, nor say, I am righteous, whilst thou art unrighteous, thus, thou beginnest to do the truth. Thou comest to the light, that thy works may be made manifest that they are wrought in God, for thy sin, the very thing that has given thee displeasure, would not have displeased thee, if God did not shine into thee, and his truth show it thee. But he that loves his sins, even after being admonished, hates the light admonishing him, and flees from it, that his works which he loves may not be proved to be evil. But he that doth truth accuses his evil works in himself, spares not himself, forgives not himself, that God may forgive him, for that which he desires God to forgive, he himself acknowledges, and he comes to the light, to which he is thankful for showing him what he should hate in himself. He says to God, Turn away thy face from my sins, yet with what countenance says it, unless he adds, For I acknowledge mine iniquity, and my sin is ever before me. Be that before thyself which thou desirest not to be before God. But if thou wilt put thy sin behind thee, God will thrust it back before thine eyes, and this he will do at a time when there will be no more fruit of repentance. Run, my brethren, lest the darkness lay hold of you. Awake to your salvation, awake while there is time, let none be kept back from the temple of God, none kept back from the work of the Lord, none called away from continual prayer, none be defrauded of wonted devotion. Awake, then, while it is day, the day shines, Christ is the day. He is ready to forgive sins, but to them that acknowledge them, ready to punish the self-defenders, who boast that they are righteous, and think themselves to be something when they are nothing. But he that walks in his love and mercy, even being free from those great and deadly sins, such crimes as murder, theft, adultery, still, because of those which seem to be minute sins, of tongue, or of thought, or of intemperance in things permitted, he doth the truth in confession, and cometh to the light in good works, since many minute sins, if they be neglected, kill. Minute are the drops that swell the rivers, minute are the grains of sand, but if much sand is put together, the heap presses and crushes. Bilge water neglected in the hold does the same thing as a rushing wave. Gradually it leaks in through the hold, and by long leaking in and no pumping out, it sinks the ship. Now what is this pumping out, but by good works, by sighing, fasting, giving, forgiving, so to effect that sins may not overwhelm us? The path of this life, however, is troublesome, full of temptations, in prosperity, let it not lift us up, in adversity, let it not crush us. He who gave the happiness of this world gave it for thy comfort, not for thy ruin. Again, he who scourgeth thee in this life, doth it for thy improvement, not for thy condemnation. Bear the father that corrects thee for thy training, lest thou feel the judge in punishing thee. These things we tell you every day, and they must be often said, because they are good and wholesome.